can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
So much going on, Donald. Donald Scott.
Scott.
What? There's so much going on that it's hard to know where to start. Let me start just by this observation. This has intrigued me for years, but it's just started to manifest itself as you drive around. How come we allow in this day of hygiene and cleanliness and masks and wearing gloves and not social distancing, how come that the authorities let people with dogs piss and shit at will all over the city or the country or wherever you live? I'm driving in here today and this woman, she's got this dog on one of those extender leads, you know, that can walk a mile away from you, but as long as it's on a lead, it's legal. It stops beside a restaurant, which was shut, obviously, because it was 8 o'clock in the morning. And the dog not only has a crap in the doorstep of the restaurant, which she picked up, but it had a piss on the door, which she didn't pick up because she can't pick piss up, as I understand it. So she cleared the crap away but left a stain on the window and the door of the restaurant. I thought, how long before some authority or someone says this is beyond the pale?
Was it a little dog?
No, it wasn't actually a little dog. It wasn't a big dog, but it was looked like a cross between a poodle and a fluffy thing. And so my point is, how ignorant and dumb can you get dog owners that will let their dog... It is patently obvious when a dog circles around, it's going to have a crap, you can tell it's going to have a crap, or it's sniffing around, it's going to lift its leg. How about you pull it over to the gutter or to a tree or pull it away from someone's residence or business? The city is just a sea of urine, of urine stains and shit all over the city. For some people pick it up and some people don't, and some people couldn't give us stuff. Why do we have to put up with it, Donald, is my question. This is the start of the week.
Well, why have I got to put up with it? Yesterday, mowing a lawn and they haven't picked up the dog shit and I've gone through two turds. Bloody stink.
And the bloke standing on the... Geez. Hence the term, where were you when the shit hit the fan, Freckles?
Well, hey, Freckles. I'm a motor mower.
Hey, Freckles, where were you when the shit hit the fan? That's the point.
And it stinks. You've got no idea when you disturb
poo
it.
Poo does stink, Donald, yeah.
No, dog.
Yeah, well, if you evacuate your bowels at home and you've had a rough night, it can have an acrid smell, Donald, if people walk into your house and you haven't air freshened. Isn't that when you walk into someone's house?
Skid marks on the bowl.
Well,
skid marks that haven't been cleaned on the bowl.
That is my one pet hate. One pet hate is if you walk into a house.
Has it happened?
If up to public toilet because people couldn't give a fuck. But if you walk into a house,
when was the last time you saw that?
Shut up. If you walk into a house and there are evidence that someone
skid
has
marks.
Opened... Yes, evidence that someone's evacuated their bowels and half of it is still on the porcelain, and you can see that there's a toilet brush down beside the bowl, and you think, well, why wouldn't they have used that? That to me is just extraordinary. I have no idea why you would leave skid marks. Anyhow... So if you walk into someone's house, isn't it nothing more off-putting if you walk into someone's house and you go into the bathroom and someone has opened the bowels and the smell can peel your eyes back. It can actually give you windburn as you walk in. You think, holy shit, how could that come out of someone's person, that smell? There must be a better way to clear a room of odours. So that was just by the by.
Big issues to start off.
Well, but they're very important issues, those. The dog issue is Holy, it's just urine running down every street in Melbourne and on doorways and on posts. And people couldn't give a fuck because they thought, no, it's become generally accepted now that dogs can do whatever they like. If you had a crap, Donald, if you opened your bowels in Bourke Street, you'd be put in jail for a year. But no, you can have a dog that does it at three or four different ports of call going up and down Bourke Street, and the people say, oh, look, isn't he lovely?
There was a cab driver that got done for it, remember? He got an $800 fine. He got caught doing it on the median strip on...
What?
On High Street in Fairfield.
You're not serious.
It was in the papers.
Well, he might have been caught short, Donald.
You serious?
Yeah, I promise. It was in the paper about 6 months ago.
Well, moving this, I wasn't going to bring this up right now, but have you heard of Jim Stafford?
Jim Singer?
Jim Stratford, I'm sorry. Jim Stratford. Jimmy was caught in the Adelaide Hills outside the Stirling District Cemetery, taking the top off it. He was out found masturbating in the nude at the Stirling District Cemetery in Adelaide Hills. He had his clothes up on the on someone's headstone. You think I'm making this up? But he's not. And he was given 2 months jail, and he was masturbating. He pulled the top off it.
The top off what?
His dick. He was masturbating, Donald. He ejaculated over... Please, you think I'm being lurid or I'm being indelicate?
I've never heard the term before. Pull the top off it.
You've never heard the top
of it? I've never heard that one before.
Don, please. You've got to...
Yeah, have you?
What do you use?
What?
Roughing up the suspect.
What?
Yeah. Shaking hands with the unemployed. Anyhow, he was, first of all, a woman reported him doing it, and he said these are exact words. He said he thought he was out in the wilderness. He thought being in a cemetery was out in the wilderness. He said not a lot of people in the cemetery would have spotted him doing it.
Hang on, I'm just trying to visualise this. This woman spotted him. Why?
This woman spotted him, and she reported him to the police. And the police, believe it or not, went down the next day and bugged me dead. There he was
what
again.
What did you say? Fuck me dead.
No, bugging me dead. Oh. I said no. He went down, and there he was again with his. I know you promise. Look this up. Google it. He had his clothes again over the headstone, and he'd taken the top off it for a second day in a row, and. And he was then charged with, listen to this, he was then charged with he was performing a sex act on himself with an electric toothbrush. Well, I presume, you know, electric toothbrush, when you turn it on, it goes zzz, zzz, and it massages and vibrates. I suppose he put that on his genitals, oh, I don't know.
And he got
arrested, and the magistrate gave him 2 months in prison for just being a fuckwit, which I thought it's a bit rough, 2 months in prison, seriously. Anyhow, so that's Jimmy Stratford. So well done, Jim. Jim said he's very sorry.
Is that Jimmy?
That's Jimmy. John's looking at a photo of Jimmy now just to prove that I didn't make it up. And Jim's now said that he's very sorry and he wouldn't do it again. Well, if he did, he'd make sure that there was no one looking. And so that's Jim. So they're not the big incidents that I was going to mention. So people have been fascinated, Don, by your obsession. People we know in New South Wales who run very, very popular talk shows and... In Sydney, they on the radio, they're fascinated by your fascination with cedar meats and that story about how the coronavirus came in a container loaded.
Yeah, that's right. What's wrong with that story?
We found
it's a bit smelly.
We found it hard to give that credibility.
A very learned man of the medical profession gave me that.
Not obviously not Professor Sutton, who you said was a bogus professor.
Yes, that's right.
No, Don, don't say that.
What?
He's not a bogus professor.
I said it's questionable. He's an what was he? An associate. If you read a couple of articles or something at university or something, you're an
associate professor or a...
I've got to go. Here, there's professorial. There is
professorial,
and there's adjunct.
An adjunct professor.
He's an adjunct.
So is he?
I have to look my notes up.
So look them up, Donald. So the adjunct professor, you're saying that Cedar Meats bought or contaminated a load of meat that went to China.
Medical came back supplies in came in a refrigerated container.
Yeah, medical supplies.
Medical supplies at the start, and then the container went back to Wuhan, loaded with meat from Cedar Meats.
Very credible evidence that Wuhan, the virus, was genetically manufactured, genetically orchestrated in Wuhan. It was nothing to do with the wet market. Do you know that? Much evidence now being gathered that they genetically engineered that virus and released it to the world. Now, that is a conspiracy theory that people won't agree with, but because they think it's racist or xenophobic, but they say that is a lot of credible evidence mounting that that has happened, and it was an orchestrated procedure for the to cripple the Western world, and what a tremendous success it was.
I feel like we've gone back in time 6 months.
Sorry?
I feel like we've gone back in time.
Yeah, no.
So much happens, doesn't it?
Well, why are we still talking about this? Haven't we done this?
Because they are. There's new evidence or new evidence came out just this week saying that.
What you're typical of society and the media.
Yeah.
You're looking for something new every day. Why don't they actually follow through stories? Why hasn't that was a real hot topic about Wuhan? It's now just we've passed over and just about forgotten about it.
And there was a Chinese geneticist,
and we're always
woman who said that she has absolute evidence that this was a genetically engineered virus released by the Chinese, and she's had to flee the country, and no one's taking her seriously, and she's got documented evidence about what they did, and no one takes it seriously because they don't want to get offside with the Chinese or the Americans, don't anyhow.
I don't know what you two guys think, but we had another quarantine outbreak last week in South Australia. Now, do you think they're going to eventually wake up the federal government and realise that states cannot handle quarantine in hotels? Why doesn't the federal government take responsibility and people coming into Australia, they could locate them, the planes could fly into, say, Ambley Air Base in Brisbane. The Australian Defence Forces could do the security. The people could be in makeshift villages, which they can destroy, you know, tents or whatever else for their quarantine period, and then be relocated to their various states. Instead of what's happening is flying into a state, going to a hotel, getting workers as cleaners and whatever else, and then it escapes. Whereas with the Defence Force, protocols would certainly be adhered to and followed.
I don't know about the tents, but I think the government is about to announce that they're taking all of the quarantine out of the cities.
And I wouldn't put it in that place in the Northern Territory. There's a quarantine place in Northern Territory which they used because of the Indigenous people that it. If it got out there, I think it'd have a catastrophic effect. I'd be looking at, say, well, I mentioned Ambley. There's got to be other places where the planes can actually fly in. The people actually get off and walk instead of going on buses or in taxis or some other type of vehicle, walk to their place, do their quarantine.
Hang on. They fly into Amberley and then get out of the plane in 40-degree heat. And what do they do? Walk where?
Walk to their
billeted
area, which is quarantined off.
So the tents are near the airport.
Yes, you could put them on the base.
They'll blow away, Don, when the jet takes off.
Yeah.
Oh, you are.
Well, have you ever seen the thrust that comes out the back of a jet when it takes off, if you're sitting in your little tent there and you're quarantining, doing the right thing in this huge Hercules.
Wouldn't it be as bad as the thrust that comes out of your ass when you're sitting at the lights?
You're in a tent at an air show for 2 weeks.
Beg your pardon?
You're in a tent at an air show.
Yeah. And the thing opens full throttle to take off. It goes... and suddenly...
How does it go?
And suddenly you and your missus and your three kids and your dog and your pets and your parrot... You've been blown to fucking. You've been blown across. Blown across the landscape. That'd be a good way to quarantine yourself. Jeez, all that's left there is a yeah. It's like the bloke that threw a tarpaulin over, flew through a.
But yeah, listen, seriously, the government, the state governments, they've just got to give up. They're the most hopeless institutions in Australia, aren't they? The federal government's not much better. They can't take leadership.
Makes you think of this. Bloke who's on his farm and he had this very frisky bull that was just into mounting anything at all. And this bloke walked out and he said, oh, no, he said, I've had to take my mare, my very prized horse, down into the paddock, he said, to keep it away from the bull. And the bloke walked out. He said, oh, yeah, the bull's been up and about. He said, I'll have a crack at anything. And his mate walked out to check on his horse the next morning and he said, he rang him up. He said, you own the bull. He said, do you realise, he said, that my horse has got a handkerchief sticking out his ass. And the bloke said, handkerchief? He said, it used to be a bed sheet. The bull's obviously the bull's obviously spotted him. Now, all right, now listen to me, Donald. Donald, listen to me.
Turn the horse into a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a handkerchief. Handkerchief? He said, it used to be a bed sheet. Now, I'll tell you, here's someone exploiting, very cleverly exploiting the lockdown. We were at McDonald's, the Rocket and I, the other day.
Having a classy lunch.
We're into a health...
Jeez, you got a big life, you two.
We're into a health kick, Don. We were just working out things to talk about on the show, seeing as you bring fuck all to
yeah,
the table.
Yeah, thanks for consulting with me too.
Can I talk about why we're at McDonald's in the first place? We were driving, we'd been to fix something, right?
Pick what?
A car, it was a car thing. Okay. Anyway, and I said I needed a coffee, and he said, yeah. Oh, I'll take you somewhere good for coffee, right?
Yeah.
Because you know how he loves his wild bean coffee?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he goes, there was no wild bean. He goes, I know where to go.
Yeah, that's true.
I said,
true.
What? And he winds the window.
Well, don't speak in that drunken, stupid tone.
I can smell it. He goes, I'll take you to a place where there's baristas.
Right? Yeah, baristas. Do you know what a barista is?
Makes coffee.
That's right. A barista. Yeah. They're trained baristas.
Well, where? He took me to McDonald's for a coffee.
McDonald's? Train their baristas to make coffee, the best coffee. They use the best beans in the business, Donald. They are renowned for it now. They've upped their ante.
Mate. I'll have to try. What was it like?
It was okay.
It wasn't okay. It was fantastic.
What are we doing for lunch today, the way?
This is not a free ad for McDonald's. Incidentally, speaking of free ads, Bill Ferg is getting back on deck with opening the restaurant, and we are obliged to go to some competition winners to the Ferg's restaurant at some stage. I'm just putting you on notice there. Bill's recovered now. He's got...
How's his leg? Oh, he's... No, he's limbless.
Sit around and speak to his patrons.
Really?
It's not hard when you've had your legs taken from up near your groin.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to have prosthetic legs strapped onto your torso. Bill's managed to have had two prosthetic legs strapped to his torso.
What, electrical devices to make them work? Or?
Well, I think electrical devices, that's his third leg. He makes that work an electrical device.
Yeah, right.
But not the two ones outside on each side of his electrical device member. Now, Don. So we're in McDonald's. We're sitting there getting a barista-made coffee. And I noticed a little... Is it all right to go on with this? A little Toyota, just a little two-door Toyota, just a normal... Corolla. What's it called? A Corolla. Corolla. It pulls in and it's got on the side of it Oriental Merchant, it's a business truck, a little van. And one pulled in. And we're just waiting for the coffee. And I said, look, there's two of those Oriental Merchant. So over the course of waiting for the coffee, seven pulled into the car park.
It must be good coffee.
well, Donald. Or, and we watched the people get out of these van, and they all congregated at a table that was you're allowed to sit at. This was while the corona.
They're having a business meeting.
They've used the McDonald's as their office. Mm-hmm. They've saved on office rental. That's fantastic. So they have. So I went back there. I was down there the next day with the car, and there they were again. They have a staff meeting at the McDonald's. Buy no coffee, buy nothing, but just use the car park and the tables as an office. And I thought, how smart is that? They've cut down on overheads, and they've cut down on rental spaces, and they don't have an office. They have they have McDonald's.
They're having something, chips or had burger.
Nothing. No, they were just having a sales meeting. I thought, how industrious is that? Is that all right to say that? Probably not. Did we mention who they were? I think I did, but we're not mentioning it again. So I thought that's pretty clever. Now, Donald, we're not joking about this. How are the Australian Defence Forces going about the charges that they have, murdered people over in Afghanistan, was it? And there's a huge investigation into this. And I said this to The Rocket, and he said, oh, well, don't get too controversial. I said, I'm not getting controversial at all. I said, but before we, and maybe all the facts have come out, before all the facts come out, it would be just good to make sure that exactly what they're charged for is correct. Because you would never know, and you would never know when you are confronted by what you might think are passive onlookers and farmers and people working in the fields. You'd never know just if that was a ruse or if they were, you'd never know who people are.
Well, what struck me is the fact of how the officers have alienated themselves or don't want to or distance themselves. They call them diggers and officers. Now, who's in charge of the army? There's a line of demarcation or a line of
authority.
And I thought the officers were in charge of the diggers. So consequently, who's responsible? But the officers, it's not us.
And
also, John, let's not muck around here. Let's not muck around. An army is set up for one reason. And the people who go into the army are indoctrinated when they go in there initially, and then they're assessed as to what division of the army they go into. And you go into A, B, C, D, or whatever else. And so it's a killing machine. And that's what you are conditioned to do. That is war. And the atrocities of war have been going on. My father came back from the war, and I saw some of the photographs that he had, and they are atrocities.
So, Donald, quite right. So by no means are we condoning any action that is just so antisocial or just criminal. We are not. And unless you are in the situation and you get all the information and you are not sure who you're dealing with as people confront you in front of you, no matter how innocent they look, I don't know where it starts and ends. And then someone said, did they not say, please, that they ended up playing soccer? Did they not say that? Playing soccer with someone's head.
I didn't know any of that. And I'm not in.
They haven't said it publicly.
Oh, they haven't said it publicly. Well, how do I know about it?
I don't know. Same here. I've heard it. I don't know. Let's wait.
I think it's a very, very contentious issue. There could have been innocent people.
Well, see, so this
innocent
is we don't
people.
Know what's rumour, what's
all of that point, stuff, yeah. And to cast judgment, you don't know. And that war is a horrible thing. Number one, we should never have been in Afghanistan. What amazes me about our world leaders, John, is that number one, there was Vietnam in our time. Now, nobody has won a war against the Vietnamese in Vietnam. So nobody has won. Yet the Americans go there in the 60s and think they're going to do something. And we go along. We're just as bad. We go along.
Do you know who tried to stop and pull the troops out of Afghanistan? Trump. and he got criticised and roundly condemned.
Okay, but even going to Afghanistan, John, okay, we say this Bin Laden, you know, all of that goes back, but the Russians were there before and didn't defeat Afghanistan. So what are the Americans going
to
do?
Trump tried to stop this. He tried to pull, he has tried to this date, is trying to pull the troops out of Afghanistan. And because it's Trump's idea to pull them out, the opposition, dumbass Joe Biden and all his crew are saying, no, it's a disgrace. How can you abandon them there? The war machine must go on over there because that's a great industry in the States, building all the munitions and tanks and fighter planes that keep the economy going. Trump said we should bring those people back. We have no business being there. But no, can't even get a consensus.
Australia follows because we've got an alliance with America.
Can't even get a consensus on that. So
even Iraq?
Iraq, yes.
Iraq?
Yes. No, Iraq. I wasn't pulling up for Iraq. That was the three greatest things that mistakes that we made was Gaddafi, getting rid of him in Libya. Mm. He kept his population under control. He's a despot and a war criminal himself, but that has just gone to shit since he left.
But where would it be now if we didn't? Do you know, like, we've advanced.
Where would it be? He would be ruling with an iron fist his people, and if they didn't obey him, he'd slaughter them.
How long ago was that now? 30 years ago?
Libya. Not sure if it was 30 years ago,
I just wonder where it would be now, though.
Well, where would it be now? Wouldn't be under the control.
He'd be dead, number one.
Wouldn't be under the control of the Taliban, because as soon as Gaddafi went, they came.
Yeah, okay.
And then there was the other person.
From Uganda?
Did I say Gaddafi? Did I just say Gaddafi then? The other bloke is.
Where from?
Iraq, Saddam Hussein.
Hussein.
And the other one, Gaddafi. Saddam Hussein.
And Osama.
No. Oh, Jesus, I can't think of the other bloke's name. What, Gaddafi? The little bloke who... I'll think of it. I can't think of his name.
Little bloke?
Not Fidel.
No.
What, from Palestine?
Seriously. I will think of it. So... the rumour and the innuendo and the facts somewhere in between... how could you say that... I think the... chat was that there was Australian servicemen playing soccer. Was it Australian?
I don't know. It's a rumour. Let's not go with it. Let's not keep talking about it.
Talk about it, because that's
using the head of someone to use a soccer ball.
I just don't want to even think about
that. Well, how could you do that?
Please,
seriously, how could you use?
But what about on the local front? What about
head as a soccer ball?
Okay, let's change the subject. What about on the local front?
What?
What about on the local front? What about our mate Dan? You see, where are they getting all the money? He's trotting
China.
Out, or they are trotting out, new ideas, housing. What about the latest?
$5 billion.
For the unhoused.
Yes.
And they're not going to seek local government approval to get these houses built. They're going to bypass. Yeah. Where's the money coming from all of
China.
This?
China.
Okay. Last night there was one. You're going to get 5 days for casual workers. Now, casual workers already get a loading, yet they're going to give... And he's come out and said, because of the coronavirus, it was brought to his attention that they are sick. So they're going to get 5 days sick leave. I mean, the hospitality industry, if you go into the... You've got a choice in life. And if you go into the hospitality industry, you've got to work public holidays. It's triple or double time. A coffee goes up to nearly $6 on a public holiday. Now, it's just going to kill business.
Well, Donald, the only way, which they're having a little trouble in America at the minute to try to change the government, because they say it is fraught with fraud. It is rampant with fraud, the election result. But the only way you change it in a democracy, Donald, is vote people in or out.
I didn't mention the other one, sorry, and I just forgot one other bloke, Pallas, when he was talking about the budget. Are you going to make any cuts, the question was, to the public service? Oh, no, we're not going to do that, because in this time and day and age, they're doing such a terrific job. Mm. They're not going to make any cuts at all to the public service. Like every other business is suffering, yet the public service can keep going.
Yes, and because, Donald... These are the people that keep them in power. Geez. And you might disagree with the way the Andrews government has handled the pandemic, and they said, oh, it's great, it's gone now. Well, it would never have started if he hadn't employed the right people to look after the quarantine people. So the people who keep in government are the ambulance people who have had the best deal of all time, the firemen, the best deal of all time, the construction industry, the best deal of all time. Now we're just placating and just preaching to the base, which is the public servants. They're the people that keep them in, and they're the people that they aim all their policies at. And you wonder why the government never changes, because people say we're on a very good wicket and we'll stick with you.
Now, my business down in the peninsula, I'll just give you another one. This is a ripper yesterday, who's looking after properties, and one is after Black Saturday, the fires of last year. Our local CFA had a meeting and the whole community turned up as to what we do next year in preparation for this year. Now, this year we've had a lot of rain. The undergrowth is really taken off and it's warm, it's very humid. And one of the properties I look after has got undergrowth, so you do the right there. But 30, and in amongst the 30 metre tree, 20, 30 metre trees is undergrowth that's starting to come through. So I get a contractor up yesterday. I said, I'd like to, for fire prevention, so this property, you're doing your bit. He said, I can't touch it. I said, what? He said, no, I can't touch it. Do you see that little sapling, which is smaller than my finger? Do you see that grass? Do you see that other? I said, I can't touch it. I'll be sued. What? Because they're indigenous plants. So he cannot come through, do a clearing underneath 30-metre trees, so you stop the fire because you're contravening the council bylaw with regard to indigenous plants. That is absolutely ridiculous.
Indigenous, you mean native plants?
Native plants.
Yes, nothing to do with Aboriginal plants.
There are plants to the area. And you cannot clear your property because you will be sued.
That's right.
So what about the fire it's going to cause? Or it's adding fuel to the fire. And yes. This is one of the
undergrowth,
and that they recognise. And interesting that the report came out, the Royal Commission came out in October, and nothing was done about or never given much airplay whatsoever.
No, that is absolutely right. Now, absolutely correct, Donald. With you, don't look at me like that, as if I'm not taking any notice of you. I am.
And the other
very good topic, Donald.
Well, I thought the Aboriginal people were going to be consulted as well, as far as clearing or mosaic type fire, which was used to clear undergrowth. I haven't heard anything about that coming out of that report in October either. Now, why isn't that done in the local shires down our way?
No, I can't. I can't offer an explanation for that.
No, because of the Greens and political correctness and all the rest of the bullshit.
Speaking of this, this might be a political correct thing, but this is one thing I think we can all agree on. Someone suggested that the words to the national anthem be changed from "We are young and free" to "We are one and free," which I think, Donald, is a very good correction to the song's words, don't you think? Australians all let us rejoice because we are young and free would be better. Australians all let us rejoice because we are one and free. We are one nation under the sun.
For we are young and free.
What?
It's for we, not because we.
All right, sorry. So I'm not familiar with the words to the anthem. But if they were going to be changed,
I don't mind that.
Good on you.
And I don't mind the song that Bruce Woodley composed either.
No, I know that.
Dismissive.
No, we've discussed that, but it's a good topic to discuss again, Donald, in case people have forgotten.
I think.
And speaking of songs, our little budgerigar, who is a great star, Kylie Minogue. Do you know what she
budgerigar?
Oh, well, they call her the little budgie, don't
singing
they?
Singing budgie.
Singing budgie. Budgie?
Michael Hutchins called her that.
What?
Michael Hutchins called her that, her ex-boyfriend.
Among other things.
That might be a term of endearment.
I think, I'm not sure when he called, under what circumstances.
I wouldn't call her the singing budgie, I think that's derogatory.
He got away with it because he was going out with her.
Yeah,
but that was a term of endearment.
He was.
Okay, so that means we can use it, doesn't it?
That's right.
No, that's between them.
Oh. He was out somewhere with her, and he said, "You're a little budgie." Just before he went out with her. He said, "You're a little budgie." So
we're getting letters.
Kylie Minogue, Donald.
Letters?
Donald. From Kylie listeners? Minogue, listen to me, is the first female...
Pictures.
Listen to this. Is the first female to top the British charts over 5 decades.
Well, hang on. She's had a hit song in every decade?
She topped the charts.
In 5 decades. In five it's decades since she's been recording.
No, it's not.
What, do you understand that?
Look at the look.
70, 80.
You say she's had a hit record in each of the decades.
She's topped the charts in each 70, decade. In the decade of the 70s.
Cliff Richard did the same.
Starts in the 80s.
What?
Starts in the 80s.
80s then? 90s? 110?
The noughties.
What?
The noughties. The tens and out of 20s. Okay.
I think Cliff Richard now, also...
That's what she did. She matched Cliff Richard.
Cliff Richard did in the 60s, 70s, not. 80s, not?
No. John, Richard and Michael have not achieved that feat. Elton John hasn't, Cliff Richard hasn't, and George Michael hasn't. They have not achieved that. That is why it is absolutely meteoric. That she not meteoric.
I think Cher has also done, not in the maybe not in the British three. Charts, but hasn't Cher had a hit every decade for?
I'm going to read this
decades?
Out again, Donald.
But three guys with two first names.
Yes. John, Richard and Michael. That's their surnames. Kylie Minogue, I'll read it again, is the first female to top the British charts over 5 decades.
Female.
And do you know what?
Female, you said.
I said that.
Yeah, so it does sounds like somebody else has done it.
They have not done it. John, Michael and Richard have I'm not done that. It. I've just already John said Michael. That. And do you know who sent her congratulations by way of a telegram? Do we still have telegrams? Michael Gudinski.
Text.
Mick sent... Mick, because he put her on the map here. And we asked Mick to come in here one day. I've spoken to Mick Gudinski several times, and he said, yes, I'll come on. And he was going to come on and chat about the entertainment at the grand final. And in fact, he rang me up. He said, can I come in next week to speak about it? And I said, absolutely, Mick. I said, we'd be delighted for you to come in. So we were looking out at the... car park here on the day he was meant to turn up, and just as I gazed out through the louver windows here, I got a message on my phone that said, I'm sorry, I can't come in. That's the last I've heard from him. Well, we were just wondering what went on there.
Speaking of telegrams.
Yeah.
What about letters?
Well, hang on. Prince Philip is 99 years old.
What is it?
Prince Philip.
Yep.
Does he get a telegram from the Queen when he turns 100?
From his missus. Yeah. Well, I think that's all he'll get from her. I'm not sure that...
Don, you've got a telegram?
No.
I've got a letter.
No, don't read that. I don't mind you reading it out, but it's just irrelevant. It's not even...
There's a picture with the letter.
Yeah, that's correct. Don, I know what you're doing. I bought this in to show Rocket here. I found it just by accident.
Why did you keep it?
I found it by accident, so don't worry
about
it.
Why did you keep it?
You know why I kept it.
I've kept lots of stuff. I've got a whole treasure trove, not a treasure trove. I've got a whole stack, a whole raft of stuff you keep over the years.
You're going back to New York?
Am I going back to New York? No, I haven't got any plans to go back to New York, Don. Don's going to try and make something out of this. I can see his little pea brain working how he can get this out on the airwaves to have a crack at me about
if
something.
If you bet this is a surprise, you didn't expect this surprise.
I'll just give him a man enough rope.
I'm trying to read the writing.
Yeah, well, that's right, because you're dyslexic. That's why you can't read it.
So what's the story? What? Hope to see you in 97.
In 97, I was there.
That's what it's got here in 97.
No,
Hope to see you in 1997.
Yeah, that's right.
Apparently New York's good to visit in spring and
let me tell you what's going on here. Don has found
and
a letter.
You could go for a long weekend.
Don has found a
perhaps
letter.
Perhaps a long weekend at the rate you I'm just going. Keep talking. I'll have plenty of time to spend with you.
Oh. Don has found
look
a letter
forward to hearing
and
from
a picture
you.
Of
hugs
a,
and kisses.
Don has found a letter and a picture of someone who I met in New York, and I brought it in to show.
She had a head job.
Brought it in.
What?
To
well, have a look. Look at her lips. Is her lips been done?
With it.
Well, I mean, she had a face done.
Someone said they'd like to give you a head job, Don, but
common.
They couldn't get their mouth over your ears. So, Don
you're
has found this letter and this picture, and he's trying to make as capital out of reading the letter, which is was written to me in 1997, so that's 23 years ago.
I don't know why you'd keep a letter that long.
Oh, I've just told you why I kept it. I keep plenty of things that are personal to me, and I bought it in for a reason, brought it in to show the rocket here, and it was just lying up in the back. And
why would he be interested in reading this?
Because I was chatting to him about relationships, which incidentally...
And you're an expert at them.
And well, on the contrary, I'm not an expert at them, but we were talking about them, and then it got on to various things about who you've met, stars
so
that you've
met. So
it was
a bit of one-up.
We talking
one up.
About...
Is she a star?
No, because somebody came up to
she's
Sam.
A star,
somebody,
don't worry about
it. Is she a star?
She's a fucking star. Don't worry about that. go ahead, Rocket.
No, I was asking Sam about his strangest star encounter.
There you are. That's how it started, Donald. No, don't look at her.
Because this happened in the same day or trip or something. Who's
so he met a star on this trip.
Jeez. Doesn't matter, Don.
No.
The thing is, the topic came up.
Put it away.
Who is someone you've met? Who is someone you've met that you've is a star and you've gone up to them? Have you ever gone up to someone and said, oh, hello, I'm glad to have seen you or meet you and asked for their autograph? Oh, Don, God, strike me.
What are you doing, Don?
What are you doing?
Yes, that's happened to me.
Well, who did you meet that you thought was a star?
Jeannie Malone.
Oh, Jesus. Fucking idiot.
So, she was a star. Was she? You know her, do you?
Wait, let's move on. oh, good. That was worth it.
So, fucking hell. So, have you met someone that we would all know that you walked up to like a groupie and said... Oh, I'd like your autograph. Have you ever said that to anyone?
No, never.
Never.
So
never.
I asked Sam that question. And Sam, tell us about your experience.
Well,
because I'd never heard of her.
Well, I was over in Augusta in 2018. Channel 9 sent me over. And the hotel I was staying at, the Beverly Hills, some little boutique hotel.
What, in Augusta? The Beverly Hills Hotel in Augusta?
No, it wasn't in Augusta, it was in Beverly Hills. But we travelled from there, this is like speaking to, this is like speaking to someone who has had their brain removed for medical purposes and their mouth is still functioning due to the muscles in it or its nerves, it's still operating. So I'm in the foyer and there was a show called, there's a series called Power it's called, and I used to watch it, and it is a very popular show. If people have ever watched it, they'll know what it is. It's about the FBI checking about the drug scene, and this woman called Angela in the show falls for one of the drug kings, a black man who she falls for but doesn't realise he is the boss of the drug syndicate. And she is a fair piece, Donald. And during the series, they do sexual reenactment of sexual acts that are so... the only thing you don't see is penetration. It is full-frontedy nude, although you don't see the bloke's snag and you don't see the woman's minge. But you see everything else, them lying on top of one another, them straddling them putting their head in between their legs, but you never see the actual steak and two veg. But so I'm sitting in the foyer waiting to get their bus or the truck or the car out to Augusta, to the golf course.
Long way from Beverly Hills by bus.
It's a long way, but we're going to the airport. And so this woman, this Angela... walks in, And I see, because I used to watch the show, and I went all week, and he's a fully grown man. This was 2 years ago, and I sprang to my feet, nearly did a hamstring, and I walk over, and I nearly headbutted her, and I said, "Angela," and she frightened the shit out of her. She thought if she'd had a minder, I would have been arrested, but she was on her own.
So you get that, Don, like a wood duck, he's called her by her character name.
Yeah, yeah. I called her by her, so I didn't know her real name. And she went, "Oh," and she started back, and I said, "I'm really so sorry," and I said who I was, not that it mentioned it mattered who I was, and I said why I was here, and I said, I love you. I said, "I watch your show.
I love you.
I love you, what you do."
What a nuffy.
I've got a picture of her here, and she was very pleasant to me. And I said, "Could I have a selfie?" And I took a fucking selfie of her. And I said, "By the way, what's your real name?" I didn't even know her real name. And her name's Leila something. What is it, Rocket? You looked it up. And so that's my encounter with making, you know, how people come to you and say, "Don Scott, the great Hawthorn captain and champion. Wow, I'm great to meet you." And you say, "Oh, fuck off." She could have said fuck off to me, but she didn't. She
very polite.
She was very polite, and so that was my encounter with fame. I've met, of course, plenty of famous people, but you get introduced to them. This, I've never voluntarily walked up to someone and actually swamped them.
Lauren.
Stalking them. And she is a very, 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 very tidy lass. And the only thing I could think of while I was there, she was dressed in fantastic clothes. The only thing I could think of while I was looking at her is imagining her what she looked like without her clothes on, because she'd been in the series every second shot, every second scene, she was in bed with this guy. So it was good. So there we are. So
time for sport?
No, it's not time for sport just yet.
Got to be close.
Has it? Oh. All right. Well, I was going to mention one other thing. I had it here. Had it here.
It doesn't matter whether we want to go or not, or we've got an...
No, we'll go on then.
We'll wait for you because it's your show.
No, it's all right. This is...
We can bring it up under sport.
Yeah, we'll bring this up under sport because it's about Drummonds and Rod here.
Drummonds, golf shop.
Oh, yeah, I thought...
Okay, sport, bang, right. Hit.
Around the streets late at night, I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again, I'm just crazy about you, baby.